Hey guys, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. If you're looking for some good sermons and great words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and like, comment, and subscribe, and share this with all your loved ones if you want them to be encouraged as well. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
I really felt like the Lord was revealing on my heart that we needed to start talking about the truth. And sometimes the truth is hard. I felt there was a heaviness last week to preach that word, but man, there was a lot of people that came and said, man, I really needed to hear that word. I really felt like it was a now time word. But so we're going to talk about the truth. The truth, not only the truth of the truth, but the truth of God's word. And next week, we're going to start talking about the Ten Commandments over the next couple weeks. I call them the Ten Suggestions. That's kind of what the world's calling them now. They're just suggesting. No, I said that's what the world calls them. That's what the title of the thing will be, whatever, anyway. But that's what it's more like, the 10 suggestions, because we live in very heavy, uncertain times that we're in right now. Trying times. Come on, we got a lot of stuff that's going on. And can I be vulnerable? Sometimes as a pastor, we see what you're going through. We know what you're going through. We feel your struggles. And we see some people that are walking away from the faith, you know, that had once served God and went after God with everything. They're just walking away now because they've lost their passion. They've lost their faith. We're trying to make the best decisions we can for the church and for you. And sometimes, I'm going to be honest, there's a heavy weight that comes when you pastor a church and doing this. It's not just something you get to get up here and sing a song and preach a word on Sunday. It's something that we live every day. So pray for your pastors, because we love each and every one of you all. But the King James Version, so there's a verse in there that says, the wearing out of the saints. When you think about the word wear out, it also translates as to exhaust, to crush, to hurt, or consume. I believe this, and we're not going into Revelations. If we do, we'll be in it for 6 months. But I believe that we've started living in very prophetic times. I've been hearing Jesus is coming back. I'm 59 years old for 59 years, or as long as I can remember. And I remember when you see the signs of the times, we see all that, read Matthew 24, and I've read it backwards and forwards. But when you start to discern the times that we're in, when you start to see it all unfolding right in front of you, that is when you have to start saying, okay, things around us are happening so fast, we have no control of them. Here's what we can do. We can either put our heads in the sand. Come on, anybody go, la, 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 la. I'm plugging my ears. I don't want to hear what you got to say. We can do that. Or we can grab onto the truth of what God is trying to say in these times. We must speak the truth, but also we must speak the truth in love. There's a way you can come down hard on people, but also when they know you love them, they're going to allow you to be able to speak into their life. There's been when you become a pastor, once you get to know people's lives, and then those are the parts that you can come to them and say, listen, you know I love you, but I'm going to try to talk to you about this situation and that situation. We speak the truth in love. The title of my message today is Truth Is. Truth is fact. It's accurate, it's real, and exact. But today in America, many believe that there are no moral absolutes. There's really no real right, or there's really no real wrong. Many hold the philosophy of moral relativism. Nobody is objectively right or wrong. Everyone ought to tolerate the behaviors of others. Oh, listen. Even if the majority of society disagrees with it. How many times have you heard these statements? What's right for you may not be right for me. If it feels good, come on, in the 60s, if it feels good, do it. Nothing is right or wrong. There are just differences of opinion. In these is a result of feeling there is no absolute truth. It's you're entitled to your truth, and I'm entitled to my truth. We have a generation that has embraced the idea that there is no absolute truth. Currently, it wants to say that the morals of each person is up to the individual. It's just up to whoever, it's up to what you feel like, right? Everyone has their own story. Everyone has their own life path. And Can I tell you this much, that this nation has fallen far away from what it was built on and what it was based on, from biblical principles from the beginning. This is heavy, y'all. I don't know if I'll get a lot of amens. I hope I get a couple laughs, but no. Moral principles and truth are still relevant. They're just like the law of gravity. They work whether you believe them or not. Today, the foundation of our country is falling and crumbling beneath our feet. Even 62% of American professing Christians say there's really no absolute standards of right or wrong. What? But the Bible says in the last days, people will believe a lie. They'll be given over to their own way of thinking. And why am I talking about this? You know why I'm talking about this morning? Because Hosea 4:6 says this: my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being the priest for me. There's a lot more context behind that, but my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge, right? We have a wealth of information. We can pull up anything. You can Google anything you want right now, but we have a poverty of knowledge. Come on, look, you want the definition of something? Hey Siri, hey Google, tell me what this is. Yeah. And it tells you, right? We have it right at our fingertips, but we don't have the knowledge of the truth. I believe we do. We hear what we see and what we do. We can't even think for ourselves sometimes because we've been so inundated with everything that's going on around us. Can I tell you, you need to pay attention, but what you see, because what you see can hurt you and it will hurt you. Truth is this: we have believed a lie instead of the truth. I want you to listen to this clip. And hold on just a second. This is Pastor Rich Wilkerson saying this. I got sent this morning. And he chatted, he hit up Chat GPT. You can tell how up I am on that. But he asked the question, if I was the devil, what would I do? Play that clip.
If you were the devil, and maybe you are, if you were the devil, what would you do? And the answer that came back at me shook me in my shoes. I wouldn't waste my time trying to get you to worship me. No, I just convince you not to worship God at all. I'd tell you truth is relative. Your truth, my truth, until nobody knows which way is up. I'd whisper, as long as you're happy, it's right. I'd keep you busy, too busy for prayer, too busy for church, too busy for crew. I'll put that one in. Too busy to ask eternal questions. I'd fill your hands with a phone so you'd never have time to fold them in prayer. I'd break families, get fathers absent, marriages bitter, and kids confused. If I can fracture the home, I can fracture the future. I divide the church, petty arguments, comparison, offense, celebrity culture. If I can get Christians fighting each other, they'll never fight me. I'd desensitize you. I'd glamorize sin in movies, normalize it in music, laugh at it in comedy, and celebrate it in culture until what once shocked you now entertains you. I'd attack your identity. I'd make you question who you are, where you belong, and whether you matter. I'd whisper shame so loud you can't hear God's voice of love. And through it all, I wouldn't even try to prove I exist. My greatest trick is to convince you I'm not real. Because if you don't believe I'm real, you'll never resist.
I could just put the mic down right there because that whole clip right there just preached. But we live in a world today that's filled with darkness. There's suicide and depression and addictions and sexual immorality. And the enemy, Satan, the devil, yes, he's real. He's not the Halloween one with the cute little horns up here. He's the real enemy. He loves to hide in the dark. Why? Because you can hide things in the dark. When you get there, you can conceal a lot of things, prevent from being seen. You can hide your emotions. You can hide your feelings. You can hide your hurts. And you can even hide your sin because you really can't see clearly in the dark. Job 12:25 says they grope, they search blindly in the dark without light, and he makes them stagger like a drunken man. There's a false reality in the dark. Why, do you know why they make the clubs dark? She looked so good last night. No, she didn't. She didn't look that good. There's a false reality in the dark. And sometimes you get to the point where a lot of things and people and situations, I'm preaching to myself, in situations, there's a lot of things that happened in the dark, in the club, that next day you're going, what in the world did I do last night? Until people start telling you what you did, and you say, no, that ain't me. Until it happens about 10 or 15 times, and you got to understand, that's you. What you see, what you hear, is not always reality. 2 Corinthians says this. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. But you know what usually happens? The enemy eventually turns the light into darkness. Darkness, after a while, starts to invade your spirit. It starts to change your personality. It starts to isolate you until you're at a point where you want to stay in the darkness because it's easier to stay hidden. It's easier to stay concealed. It's easier to be where nobody knows who you are. Why? Because the devil is a liar. The Bible calls him the father of lies, and it says the truth is not in him. And the enemy loves to twit. I know, we're talking about the devil this morning. I grew up talking about the devil every week. But I think we have to understand, I'm not giving him any glory because we serve Jesus. But I don't want you to be caught unaware that you have an enemy who hates you. You know why he hates you? It's because you were made and formed in the image of God, and he hates God every time you take a breath in. Pastor Sam said this at prayer. Every time you take a breath in, it makes the enemy mad because that's the breath of God going through you. He loves to twist things, and he did it to Eve. He said, did you really hear God say that? Oh, you're not really going to die. Come on, girl. You don't have to listen to authority. What do they know? They're a bunch of hypocrites anyway. We live in a world where right now, and be honest with you, we've caused a lot of turmoil by not living the life that we're supposed to be living as the Christian people. But we live in a world where everybody who professes Jesus, not everybody, back up. People that profess Jesus are all called a bunch of hypocrites. Not everybody is. There's people that are living their lives like they should be. But you also hear that, you know, it can't really hurt you. That's just a scare tactic trying to control you. Here's the big one. Is God really real? Come on, y'all have heard these. Everyone goes to heaven. The reality is no. I said it last week. Narrow is the road that leads to life. Broad is the road that leads to destruction. Not everybody. All dogs go to heaven, but not every human goes to heaven. If he convinced you that the devil is not real, you heard that right here, then you're not going to fight against him or fight against his plots and schemes. He creates a false reality, and some people just like to lie to themselves. They like to lie to make their own world up. Come on, y'all talking about, you've been around that person. They have to be able to tell you something a little bit more to create their own little world, making it up as they go, to pretend that there's someone who they're not. And you've seen this before on social media. You get the glamorous picture of this person, but you are looking at the filter of that person. You are looking at, oh, that's the greatest marriage in the world, but you ain't seeing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday when they're fighting with their wife. We don't fight, but we just communicate differently. Society has become so fake that the truth actually bothers people. Romans 1:25 says this, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator? Right there, come on. We live in a world like that. Truth is not concealed or new. Truth is not covered up. 1 Corinthians said this in the Amplified. He will both bring to light the secret things that are now hidden in darkness and disclose and expose the secret aims, motives, and purposes of the heart. I believe we're living in some revealing times right now, and truth exposes darkness and brings light to that darkness. Ted Koppel said this, our society finds the truth too strong, a medicine to digest undiluted. The enemy has taken the truth and he's tried to dilute it down to where we're now, we preach a watered down gospel. We preach a gospel of, and listen. Oh, don't even let me go started here. We want everyone, this is, help me, Lord. We want everybody to feel good. And about 2 or 3 weeks ago, God says, I want everybody in the congregation to feel good. And that's why I struggle with this. But he said, I also want you to let them know there is a truth. There is an enemy. There is someone out there who wants to steal, to kill, and destroy everything that they have. So I want to make you feel good this morning. I am going to make you feel good because Jesus is the answer. Taste and see. Once you've tasted him, come on, there you go. Help me preach this morning. We need something to stand on. And the word is still the truth. This is still the truth. We have it in every form, but I got this one out about 6 months ago and laid it on my table, and I've been reading it out of the written word of God. Charles, you love that? I went back to the King James. That's the King James Version. According to my dad, it's the most holy version. But there's something about the Bible, the physical print of the Bible. And you can look through this where I've printed up and I've got highlights all through this thing. You know, if a Bible's worn out, that usually means your life isn't worn out. But I love the Bible. If you take acronym. Is that where you take a word? Ah, thank you, Jesus. That's my English teacher on the front row. I made a D. The B is basic. I is instruction. B is before. L is leaving. E is earth. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Come on. I got that one off the internet. But if you've bought a car in your lifetime or maybe sooner, especially a new car, every single new car has an owner's manual. If you looked at it once, raise your hand. So 90% of y'all have never looked at the owner's manual. If you've never looked at it, raise your hand. Oh, Lord, okay. Most likely, you've shuffled through the glove box. You've moved it to the bottom of your glove box. You put it underneath all of your Chick-fil-A sauce. Come on, can I get an amen on some Chick-fil-A sauce? You put it under your salt and pepper, and you put it under your stack of napkins that you gotta have in there. Come on, y'all, you need some napkins in your glove box. In the name of Jesus, I ain't telling that story. Everything that you need to operate this vehicle is in that book. And if you look and see, there's all kinds of information, insight about how to care, to service, and to drive and operate your vehicle. How to read all the signs and symbols on the dashboard. I got a vehicle right now, every light in the house is on. Come on. Y'all got one of those? It's got a check engine light, a VSS. It's got so many words, I don't even know what it is. But it lights up the dashboard. But it's right there in the owner's manual. But hardly anyone ever reads them. Listen, God is our designer. He's given us an owner's manual called the Bible or the Word of God. And you know, it seems you can find Bibles everywhere. Most homes, I clear out these houses in the States. We have a whole cubby full of Bibles. I find at least 7 or 8 Bibles in them. You can get them in a hotel. The Gideons are still putting them in the hotel rooms. But it doesn't seem to be as important or valued as it used to be. Often we leave this owner's manual on the shelf, in the drawer, unopened, dusty, and hardly read. A recent survey conducted found that 34% of believing Americans have never, no, 34% of Americans have never read the Bible. Wow. People believe that the Bible was relevant for once upon a time, or yes, a long time. It has a lot of good stories in it. And listen, other people have attacked it. Can I just tell you this? I'm going off my notes. You better cherish the Word of God. You better hold on to that Word of God. Your Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Do you know why you better hold on to it? Because one day they may come to you and say, you got to put your Bible in this bin and I'm going to burn it up. You better hide that word in your heart. You better have you some verses and some scripture that where you can go back and say, listen, I know what I'm going through, but my God is greater. Get you some Bible right here so you can speak it out. They've accepted all of everything else, and they've tried to ban it, burn it, discredit it, and make fun of it. But listen, God's word is eternal. Matthew 24 says this, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. The Bible is the true word of God, and it's still the number one bestseller of all time. Why? Because 3,800 times it declares God said. 3,800 times it says God said. Don't you think we should open this thing if 3,800 times it says what the Lord God Almighty says to us? There's been at least 2,500 prophecies. Most have been fulfilled with high improbabilities of ever being fulfilled. 2 Peter says this, knowing that first no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Every author that wrote the Bible was inspired by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God. The Word is the primary way for God has chosen us to reveal Himself to us. John 1:1 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I may have got that one wrong. In God's owner's manual, it's full of details. How to live our life to the fullest. Sometimes we think being a Christian is going to be a bummer. It's going to be bad. It's going to be just, I'm going to have to give up all this stuff. But if you start giving your heart over to God and you start reading His word, you're going to understand He wants to give you life, and He wants to give it to you life more abundantly. Not just a halfway life. Thank you, Jesus. Not just reading, but allowing it to navigate and put you all in the right directions. Follow the instructions. How many of y'all like putting anything together? Y'all, I'm praying for you. We just got some stuff for our condo, and it showed up in 64 boxes. And I walked in the door, and I was like, good Lord Jesus, I'm going, me and her are going to be into it this week. Because I do not like putting anything together. I remember Keenan when he was growing up, I would say, listen, if you put this grill together, I'll make you a steak, man. 20 minutes later, he had that grill together, didn't he? He was ready. But how many of us have looked at that furniture and we see a book of instructions, and it's usually this thick. It's in several different languages. And some of us just throw the instructions aside. You know what? Yes. Let me finish. Because we know better and we think we can get it done quicker. Not me. They go to A to B to Z to, well, I have no idea. It's all in a different language to me. But if it can't be done correctly, you don't follow the instructions. What Deuteronomy says this. Now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to be careful, to observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations. 2 Timothy says this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction and instruction in righteousness. The instructions are there for a reason. If you follow the instructions, it can and will change your life. And listen, when you follow the instructions, it's going to take some time. You're not going to be able to put that thing together and just like that. Me, hardly ever. I often said one time, I'm not going to hell. In the name of Jesus. But I often said, my idea of hell is the devil opening up a door. And as far as I could see was IKEA furniture. And he's saying, Rich, eternity. Come on, y'all know what. Or going to Target and having to fold clothes. That person, I bless that person. Anybody work outside the clothes thing, they have to fold all those clothes every time you come back? Okay, let's go on. But when we follow the instructions, it's going to take a little time. Don't get a hurry or neglect any part of it. God is trying to build something. You have to stay in the process. Because if it says point, how many of y'all try to put something together? You go to one, okay, I'm going over here to six. Wait a minute now, I skipped three, four, five. Why is it going together the way it's just? Because you cannot skip the process when you're, he doesn't skip the process. You may have just started the process and maybe you feel like you should be farther along. Some of us should be farther along in the process that we're in, but don't, just stay in the process. God says, I'm moving and working something in you. He's trying to build something in you, and sometimes it's just assembly required. God's timing may take a little longer because he doesn't take any shortcuts. He wants to put us together with no, anybody ever have a missing, have a screw left over, or three or 12, or a black thing that you don't even know what it fits? Come on. God does not want to do that with your life. He has fearfully and made you and wonderfully made. He's made you the way that you are, and he wants to perfect everything about you. He don't want nothing missing on you. Truth is this, and you shall know, John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We can't be afraid to speak the truth. And can I just tell you this? God's truth is not always popular. It's not always easy. And it's very offensive sometimes. There's a quote that I got here. It says, the truth will set you free, but it's going to make you mad first. Y'all can go ahead and come up if you want to. But isn't that the truth? I'm going to say that again. The truth will set you free, but it will make you mad first. How many of you have, I'm married to one. Whew, she speaks the truth in love to me all the time. And sometimes I'm like, you really don't love me. But when I start to process it and I start to think about it, I'm thinking, she really does love me because she doesn't want me to do this or she doesn't want me to be this way. You got to get you some people around you that will speak the truth in love to you and say, hey, listen, I know you've been trying this for a long time your own way, but let me just tell you what I see. The truth will make you mad sometimes. Sometimes we don't want to accept it. Sometimes we're just so stuck and so, I don't even know the word I'm trying to come up with. But we want to hear it. Brooke, I know Dylan is perfect. And she probably speaks the truth in love to you very often, I guarantee it. But can I just tell you this? The truth is not hate. It's love. I tell you the truth in your relationship because I love you. I tell you the truth in business because I want our business to good, but I also want you to know that I care about you too. A lot of times the first thing we do is when people start speaking the truth to us, our walls go straight up in the air, and before too, I'm preaching to me this morning. The offenses start coming up and I start thinking, oh, are you sure that's me? But then when I search, not just me search, but when the Holy Ghost starts searching, he's like, got you. Yes, that's it. I know that's you. That's when I got to say, phew. I didn't like what I heard, but I know it was good for me. When we allow the word of God, it says in Psalms 119, it says this, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. I think I heard Pastor Sam say this a few weeks ago. That's enough light that you can just see out a little bit. Then we got to start trusting him with the beyond light. You know, you got that little lantern. You can only see 6 to 8, 10 feet in front of you. God says, for the journey that you're on right now, if I showed you what was all the way on the other side of it, you wouldn't go there. But I'm only going to show you a little bit at a time. And here's what I want you to do. Come on, this is somebody. Ladies, you need to trust that there's something on the other side of that light that you're not seeing yet, but it's not dead. It's not infertile. It's part of what God's still doing in your life, so embrace it. Say, God, I don't understand it, but I'm going to go with you. But the word gives us understanding on how to live and deal with the trials. Anybody going through anything today? With the temptations and the valleys of life. But here's what God's word does, and I'm winding up. It will teach you what is right. It'll rebuke you and tell you what's wrong. It'll correct you on how to get it right. But it'll also train you in righteousness how to stay right. Come on, I need to see that again. It's going to teach you what is right. It's going to rebuke you when you're not doing the right thing. It's going to correct you and tell you how to get it right. It's going to train you how to stay right. So many of us, we've started the journey. We make a mistake and we just, okay, I made a mistake. Might as well just go back to what I used to be. That's not who God's called us to be. He's called us to stay in that process and allow him to train us on how to stay right. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us into all truth. And if that's the case, the Spirit of the Lord, where it is what? Freedom. So if freedom comes from truth, then let's expose some truths. Over the next couple weeks, we're going to be talking about the Ten Commandments. And we're going to evaluate them. Come on, y'all got to come back next 2 weeks. It's going to be gooder. And we're going to be evaluating whether they're still relevant today. So many times I think, oh, that's the Old Testament. We don't live in the Old Covenant. There are a lot of things. I believe in the Bible from cover to cover. And what was written way back then is still applicable to today. If y'all would stand with me, please. But the truth is this. How do we even find truth in a world full of misinformation? You might ask the question, is there even hope for a future? The owner's manual, this word, is more than just a book. It's hope in a hopeless world. It's new direction when you've lost your way. Let me tell you what's so good about his word nowadays that we have the advantage of. I'm going through depression. What does the Bible say about that? Bam, your phone's going to pull up 15, 20, 30 verses to tell you what you're going through. Years ago, we didn't have that. I think we needed to be able to search the scriptures on our own. And it made us to be able to understand this thing cover to cover because we had to read it for ourselves. Oh, come on. We had the concordance. It was that thick. But it was so good because it made you look it up for yourself. There is hope this morning. I want to let you know there's a hope in Jesus Christ. And there is no other way but through the name of Jesus. The truth, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And it says, no man comes unto the Father but through me. And what we really need to find truth is we really need to find a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because when you start developing that relationship with him, that's when you're going to find out the truth of God. Here's what you're going to find out. God really does love you. In a world of misinformation to tell you if you grew up in church that God was always mad at you, no. God is madly in love with you. When you start getting a relationship with Jesus, you're going to find out, man, I have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That he ain't just somebody I can talk about on Sunday. He's someone I can carry with me all during the week. If you would, just everyone close your eyes and let's bow our heads, please. And I'm going to look around the room, even though it's dark in here. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior today, this is your day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Not next week, not next year, because the Bible says also in James, it's life is a vapor. I'm going to ask you, if you've never accepted Jesus, will you just slip up your hand? Come on. Well, I got a bunch of saved folks in the house. That's good. I'm going to ask you, maybe you're going through something then. Maybe you just need to have a confession, a reconfession in your mouth to say, Jesus, I've sinned. I've fallen short. Please forgive me. I believe totally in my heart that you are the Son of God and you died for me. Take control. Because I've been trying to control it and I need you to take control of it. Or maybe this morning, You've been believing the lies of the enemies. Maybe because you've been believing a lie, it's caused doubt. It's caused fear. It's even caused discouragement in your own life to say, man, God, I don't even know if you're up there anymore. I know there's somebody in this room that's feeling like, I don't know if you're hearing me. I had times in my own prayer life, I didn't know if my prayers were hitting the ceiling or what. This morning, I want to pray over you. Let's all lift our hands. Let's receive this prayer. God, I pray all over the room. And I pray for those that are going to watch this a couple days from now. God, help them, help us not to believe the lies that the enemy's been speaking to us. Don't believe what he's telling us and don't believe what he's told us from the childhood. I pray peace over this troubled time that we're in right now. God, I pray that you help us to trust, to lean, to believe in what you say. Holy Spirit, speak whatever you want to speak to me this morning. Say whatever you want to say to me this morning. And Father, I pray that you draw me closer to you than I've ever been. In Jesus' name. I also want to pray, I'm adding this on, I want to pray for your families. The people that are not here today. There's so many struggles going on with people's families right now that, you know, it's a mess. So, Father, right now I speak a word of life outside of these doors right now. I speak a word of life to go into the families of everyone who's in here today. And I pray for the unforgiveness to go away. I pray, Father, right now that there will be reconciliation in family members today. And God, I pray right now, those here right now would spread the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ to their family members. God, I know what they're saying. I've told them before. Tell them to tell them again.
Tell them again. Look again.
Tell them again. Father, right now, I speak life into those marriages. Maybe the husband's here this morning. The wife's not. I speak life into that marriage. Maybe the wife's here and the husband's not. I speak life, God, right now. Into our kids, into the future, God. God, I pray right now over every child, every middle schooler, every high schooler, God, right now, that is going through a misinformation time in the light, in the way the world is today. God, I pray that your light would so shine before men. God, they're gonna know. Thank you, Jesus. If you receive that, this next song is gonna be an altar song. There'll be people up on the right and the left here to pray with you. If you have anything you need agreement for, don't hesitate to come up. I don't always just want it to be another song that we sing at the end of the thing. This is a life-changing time for you. Take advantage of it.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you are encouraged. If you are looking for more information, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you soon.